The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to this week's first edition of Gwen and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matthew Scraby, back from the long weekend.
We decided to come back.
Yeah, we contemplated.
Not really.
Staying away, but here we are.
We missed all of you out there.
Yeah, no.
Speak for myself.
I was about to say, yeah, I don't know. It wasn't that long that we were just manning the mic that long ago, and here we are again. Let's get into some of the topics. Yesterday, Monday Night Football, your Dolphins actually looked like they were ready to play, although Tua was still doing crazy Tua things, sticking his head in tackles.
Trying to make a tackle. That was a little silly. Yeah, I kind of appreciate the Dolphins after the game all acting like they're headed to the playoffs now that their record is 3-6. But they have a long way to go.
Yeah,
but
there was a lot of playoff talk.
Yeah, I mean, they keep asking. They're asking everybody, "Are you guys going to the play?" Oh yeah, I feel good about it. Feel good about it.
Yeah,
you're 3-6. You can maybe lose one more game the rest of the way if they're going to get into the playoffs. And they've shown no signs to me of a team going on that kind of a roll. But they played an inspired game last night.
They did. Scraby, your team able to scrape by? I was praying for a loss just so I could come in here and really roast you, but
you were praying for a loss.
Yeah, it makes for better content when
he was actually in the family room down on his knees.
I was. It didn't go my way, but
he and Trey both were there.
There were quite a few different things that happened in that game that we'll talk about at some point, including Debo living up to his name. And Debo from Friday.
I mean, what the hell, Debo? Leave the kicker alone. How many games is that kicker going to win for you? And you're ripping the guy because he missed a field goal or two.
If you miss three field goals in a game,
yeah,
and Debo's out there giving up everything he has to win a game.
Who won the game for you?
The kicker, because Debo scared him into it.
Oh, I see.
Are you kidding me? He went over there to give a little pep talk, which probably was like, "Hey, get your stuff together." And then the long snapper was like, "Hey, get away from him. You can't talk to him like that."
You would stick up for Debo even if he went over there with a knife.
This guy is
Jekyll
and Hyde when it comes to Debo. He hates Debo one week.
Yeah. Well, if we say anything about Debo, then he loves Debo.
I don't know who Debo is, but I know who.
Debo is a great pop rock band from the early 80s, Devo.
This is a Gwen and Chris week for sure. We already are off to a
rolling.
Great start.
Yeah.
You guys missed a great Friday with me and Sam.
Did we?
Yes. We talked to NFL. We sang. We did a countdown.
Hey, time out. You guys sang?
Yes. I don't remember what we sang, but Kirk Kenny texted me during it and said, "Please no more singing."
Yeah,
so.
I was about to turn to the chat.
I got the best
and
part
asked
of
the chat how they felt about the singing that went on Friday.
What did you sing?
I can't even remember. It was probably some Taylor Swift song or some pop song.
Really? Yeah. Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I mean, her music is catchy.
All right.
So
then.
You're a Swiftie?
I'm not a Swiftie.
I don't know. It sounded like you kind of
I think we're done showing her in the stands, too, but nope. Kevin Harlan goes, well, we have to check in to see if Taylor Swift is here. Oh, she is. This is great.
Yeah, thank goodness for that.
Saw footage of her being escorted down.
I don't think she, again, I still don't think she's ever seen the Chiefs lose a game. I mean,
you might be right.
She's been going for 2 years. They haven't lost too many, so they might as well keep bringing her.
Sam's listening, and we sang Let It Go from Frozen.
Oh, wow.
That's not what I was expecting to hear.
That was stooping to a new low. I thought the highlight of Friday was you and I trying to get on the air while I was in the hotel room up in Davis, the first hour that we survived together. Tony, you got a compliment during that stretch.
Did I?
Yes. Scraby said you were far better at signing on to the equipment than I was. I don't know how big of a compliment that is, but it's
to be
it's
fair,
something.
I got a lot more practice than you. Do it like every
Yeah, I had not
trip.
Done it before.
It's been
and it's
been
it
a
was
while.
Pretty clear.
It's been a while since you've had to do it.
It was pretty clear that I didn't know what I was doing. And Scraby, I think we finally figured out, you know, when you're plugging in things and, you know, trying to set something up, and now time is up.
Yeah.
And the last plug got in, and Scraby goes, talk.
Yeah, talk. I was like, talk,
talk. And I said, what, are we on the air? And he goes, talk. That's how the show opened on Friday.
Should we go back and listen
to
it?
So we're already ahead of ourselves today just based on our open today. So that's
too
good.
Funny.
I will say, Chris, I never said that you were bad at setting up your equipment. You did set up your equipment just fine. The
I don't
problem
think he
was...
said that you said he was bad. Oh, he just said that I got a compliment.
Yeah,
but your setup is different.
He said Tony did better than I did, and that's all. And it was fair because I struggled.
The only thing we ran into was, for some reason, every time Chris opened StreamYard, the Zoom would close down, and every time he opened Zoom, the StreamYard would close down. So
I couldn't figure that out. I could not figure that out.
And I'm sending him nasty texts at 1:30, hey, bro, I thought you wanted to meet at 1. Chris is going through a crisis.
I had a crisis. I was supposed to call Scraby at about 1:15 to give us 45 minutes to set up, but I was at the team lunch, and one of the few times I've ever been around the team, the basketball team, the hotel was faulty in getting the lunch out. And the lunch was 20 minutes late. And I'm sitting there going, should I leave? Should I stay and eat? Should I leave? Should I try to stay and eat something? I need to leave? I'm going to hang on one more minute.
Of course, you're hungry.
Right, I'm hungry. So the food finally got there and I wolfed it down. Then I raced back to the hotel, which was next door to where we ate. Ran up to my room at 1:30 maybe, figured I still got enough time, a half an hour, we ought to be able to plug in, and they had checked me out of the room.
Oh, so
my key card did not work.
So you had to go back down.
I had to go all the way back down, wait in line.
Probably getting my text messages.
And you're you know when you're standing in line and there's anybody doing anything in front of you,
they're going to take even
you want to strangle them. Hurry up 100%. And get out of the way. And finally, I got my key raced back up. And so that's why we were struggling at the last second.
I know
to get
from
on
experience
the air.
In dealing with Scrabinator is that he begins to get anxious.
I was also anxious. So I'll be honest with you. I was also anxious.
Being that both of you guys are my partner, I pick up on the anxiousness on both of you guys when the appointments aren't hit.
But I know that when you aren't here, someone has to be calm. And I know that Chris is panicking a little bit.
I'm panicking because it's all new equipment to me.
So I had to be calm.
So you got to play my role.
I had to get a camera plugged in. I had to get a microphone plugged in. I had to get the StreamYard plugged in and the Zoom plugged in. And that's way too many things to ask me to plug in. That's just way too many things. And Scraby's hurry up and make your bed. It looks really messy behind you in the hotel room.
So he's also producing.
I was everywhere.
From where he's at.
Yeah, if you got the clip of how the show opened on Friday,
I'm doing it right now.
I'm honestly curious to hear how bad it honestly sounded with you going talk and me going, what? Are we on the air? Wait.
Oh, okay, here it is.
I would love to hear how this started.
Here it is.
Hello.
Wait.
Talking like we're on the air?
Yes, talking like we're on the air, Chris.
See what people
that was more disastrous than I had feared.
When Chris said, like, talking like we're on the air, he's hearing Scraby, who you guys can't hear,
right?
Say talk,
yeah,
talk,
right? Say something.
hello.
That's how the show started. That's
amazing.
Yeah, so we're way ahead of ourselves today.
All right, so
let's
stay ahead of ourselves. Let's talk some baseball.
Yeah,
over the weekend, Jeff Passan kind of dipped his toe into free agency. And, you know, it didn't necessarily have to do with the Padres, but a lot of it did indeed have to do with the Padres. I'll just read you a little excerpt from Jeff Passan in terms of Soto. And it's relevant because, of course, the Dodgers could be in pursuit. He said the Dodgers won't chase Soto. Otani's presence as a designated hitter would leave them with limited options should Soto's defense range force that a move, but would gladly consider him in an unlikely event the market softens. So that kind of takes him out of the mix there. In terms of Jerickson Profar, he's ranked, what, I think 7th among the big leaguers in on-base percentage, behind some really good players, Otani, Guerrero, Jordan Rodon. Not much on him. In terms of Ha-Seong Kim, certainly seems like, even though he's coming off the labrum surgery, according to Passan, he's still going to be a pretty hot commodity. He's going to have options.
You know, how soon is he going to be ready to play next year? Because
June or July.
And people are going to still lay out a ton of bread for a guy that's going to play half a season.
According to Jeff Passan, he said could sign a high-dollar one-year deal, but the shoulder issue hasn't dissuaded teams for pursuing him for multiple seasons.
God love you, Ha-Seong. I'm glad somebody thinks you're a fantastic ball player.
He is a fantastic ball player.
He's a
good
gold
ball player. Not this year.
He wasn't.
No.
Blake Snell. Of course, that's a name that has been on the tip of everybody's tongue. You know, clearly Blake enjoyed his time here. He's going to be due a lot of money. Are the Padres in that market? Here is what Mr. Passan had to say. His market will certainly be better this winter than it was last. It doesn't really go into whether the Padres will pursue him or not. It's just in talks in terms of his market being a lot better. And it really looks that way for all of Scott Boras's clients.
Oh, good. Because I want Scott to make a ton of money.
It's just
offseason, you know.
This is the point
suffered.
I was making with some of my colleagues during the season when there was a lot of talk about Scott Boras falling off and players flooding away from him and going to other agencies. That's not happening, and you're going to see it a good view of it this offseason. Now, in terms of the Padres, obviously Joe Musgrove's absence is going to be a big deal. Padres have to find an answer for those innings, and you know, preferably someone on that level. There's some good options out there, and one of them could be Walker Buehler.
They'd have to do a survey of Padre fans.
I don't care.
No, they don't.
To allow that.
I want Walker Buehler on this
you
team.
You do?
I do.
Without question. Now,
I can put the Dodger thing aside if he's going to play for the Padres.
Can?
Yes.
It's not just the Dodger thing. He's like a hated Dodger. Ugh.
I will love him when he's on the Padres if he's doing what he's doing.
Here is what I'll say. Is the reason why he's an option is because there is a chance he's searching for a one-year deal. And because it almost could be a prove-it deal, he certainly may get multi-year offers. But remember, he's coming off of Tommy John surgery the year before. He missed half of this season before he came back. He missed some part of this season. I don't know if it was exactly half. But he struggled, really, all the way until he got to the postseason.
Until the third inning of the Padre game.
Right.
After he gave up the Tatis home run. He didn't give up another run, I don't think, the rest of the time.
He was lights out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he showed the postseason. He showed in the postseason he still has the frontline ability. And without qualifying offer to drag his market, he is in line for a big money one-year contract from a contender even after a disappointing regular season. A multi-year deal isn't out of the question, though. At 30, Buehler could take the risk of a pillow contract in hopes of getting nine figures next winter.
I wouldn't go for him, honestly, and I was kind of, you know, about the Dodger-Padre thing, but I'm never... It might backfire on me, but I'm never a fan of laying out a bunch of money for somebody who has a hot streak for three games.
I get concerned.
The guy couldn't get anybody out for an entire season.
All of his career prior, we just only going off of 2024.
I don't know. I feel like the Dodger thing is holding you back a little bit. A little, but. I don't know. I Buehler would not be my choice. Is there anybody else out there I can?
I think I'm gonna need you to come up with your own choice first, and then we can get into.
And then we'll discuss it, dissect it.
Yeah. The other name, of course, was a name that came up quite a bit during the trade deadline. And that's Garrett Crochet. Before his agent came out and basically scuttled all of those conversations.
Another high-quality human being.
I don't know what kind of human being he is, but his agent certainly portrayed it in a way that he was ready to get his bag right now. So those are just a few of the names Patson hit on as well. Josh Naylor's another name that could be on the move. Padres could look to have a first baseman there. But remember, with Arise already being a DH, it kind of limits what you would do if you even need to bring an offensive guy.
Well, you could go first base if you can talk Xander Bogaerts into staying at shortstop and Jake at second. Then first base would be a need. Can you get a cheaper first baseman or can you get a cheaper shortstop? And then move Xander to second and Jake back to first.
He would have to come in a trade because he's not a free agent until next year.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, it'll be interesting to see how they attack that. They're certainly going to get a pitcher. I think they're going to have to go shortstop, first base, and they're going to have to go left field. Those are three things that are, you know, absolutely positively they have to have. And until we know what the budget is, you know, it's a lot of guesswork right now in terms of who they can really go after. I mean, if the budget is going to take them all the way to the verge of the luxury tax, they can get in the running for, you know, a lot of guys other than Juan Soto.
Yeah.
But if the budget is going to say let's hover around where we were last year, remember we already talked about all the money that's going to be owed to players that are already on their team who get raises next year.
Yeah.
So they don't have a whole lot of free money lying around there. So we'll see.
Yeah. This is just starting to bubble a little bit in free agency. Soto seemingly is having people fly all from all over the country to come see him. It's
unbelievable.
It's that time of the year.
Yeah, the entire country of Canada is coming to his house to Toronto's, see if they can talk him into going to Toronto.
Toronto said, I can't wait till we get our first report of Soto's jet.
Who is the person who looks like Soto who's going to fly to Toronto that they're going to report is the new Blue Jay? Because that's what happened with Ohtani.
It certainly seems like this is going to be an active free agent, active really off season for baseball this year, which is always a good thing. All right, let's get to break. On the other side, there was one guy I did not mention in terms of free agent. He's probably the piece of jewelry everyone wants because it's priced at in a range that everybody seemingly can afford. That's what I was trying to say there. Let's get to break. We'll talk about who that is and who the Padres may very well be in on the other side. We're going to
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris. All right, good to be back here in San Diego in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, following a 3-day weekend. NFL Week 10 is indeed in the books. We'll wrap it all up a little later in the show with our good, bad, and ugly. Also got Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show today. I got to tell you, just ahead of time, I think the category is going to be throw you off, way off, guys. It's going to be so far out there that I don't know what I was thinking one night when I put this together. It was about a month ago, and I haven't had the guts to bring it to you yet.
Well, a month ago?
Maybe longer than a month ago.
Wow, okay.
But I'm bringing it to you today because I didn't have time to put together a fresh one. So you guys are going to have a crazy subject today on the Fantabulous Sports Game
it
Show.
It can't be any crazier than the time that you said Russia was a part of the European Union.
So. I didn't.
That the, was actual the, facts, though.
The, yes, I just went to the source there. That was not my own determination.
I'll never forget that.
That Russia was part of the European Union. I did not make that designation.
All right.
Just so you're aware. All right, Tony kind of teased that, and I'm on the edge of my seat here as far as maybe the jewel of the baseball free agent class is and, you know, who the Padres might have their eye on. Tony, take over.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I'm giving Suzuki. It to you here.
Yes, we talked a little bit about him last week.
Who was it?
Roki Suzuki.
Oh, Sasaki. That guy.
Sasaki, excuse me.
Oh, yeah, Roki Sasaki. He's a big doings.
Yeah.
He is, and he's a big doings in part because of how cheap. Remember, he could have elected to stay until he was, what, 25, I think, the age is. And at that point, in order to get him, teams would have had to pay more for the fee on top of what he would be able to make as a basically a free agent. This is almost along the same lines. I don't know if you guys remember Yu Darvish's first contract, but it was very team-friendly once it became team-friendly once he became Shohei Ohtani. The first couple years when he was kind of battling through injury, it was looking like, okay, this is kind of right, the right price. And then it, all of a sudden he became Shohei, and it was a bargain for the Angels for until last year. So
do you think that the Padres could get a bargain here?
Well, the reason why this is a big deal is because according to Dennis Lynn, his mentor, the guy he has a relationship with, is none other than Yu Darvish.
Oh, and I thought it was going to be AJ Casavell. Surprised. Honestly thought you were going to go, AJ Casavell and this guy are total buddies.
No. It's Darvish. And, I mean, this is a guy that reading articles seemed like he looks up to in some ways. And the Padres may have an inside track on perhaps bringing Sasaki into this organization. And that right there, at least from what scouts and Major League Baseball guys who've seen him pitch, would immediately fill the void of one Joe Musgrove.
That would be a hell of a get.
And you'd have him for a certain amount of years.
Come on, you.
Is Hideo Nomo still part of the Padres organization?
Yes, he is.
Because he should have sway as well.
Yeah,
I hope the guy is swayed by people and not dollar signs. Because probably going to be somebody else somewhere who's going to offer more than the Padres.
Well, he can only make a certain amount.
Oh, he can only get a certain amount.
There's crazy rules on Japanese players.
Okay, got it.
And that's why it was such a big deal. There was, you know, we had talked last week about him possibly not even posting if he wanted to make more money,
but he decides he wants to come now. Yeah, I did see that. So, okay, well, that's the guy to kill. Well, now, when does all of that
kind of iron itself out?
Yeah, when does that get underway? Do we know? Like, could we call him today and bring him in?
Or? You want to call him, huh?
Yeah. Can you FaceTime him, Scraby?
No, I can't FaceTime him. I do know that it's like a six-year type of thing, like a rookie would be for Major League Baseball. So this would be huge for the Padres. This is not even just huge. This is momentum-changing.
Momentous. Yeah, well, it's momentous. As long as he comes over and pitches lights out, and I'm not saying he won't, I'm not saying he will, I don't know. I mean, a lot of these guys are not Ohtani, right? They could be closer to Kodai Senga, who's been hit and miss,
injured.
Mostly miss. So,
hey, devil's advocate.
We hear everything about all how great they all are, and a lot of them are great, but not everyone.
A devil's advocate would say, well, Shohei, when he first came over here, wasn't Shohei until he became
Shohei. All right. Well, this guy doesn't bat, or does he, that we know of?
No, he just throws 100 from like...
A hundo.
Yeah, he throws a billion.
That used to actually get my attention, but
yeah, I guess so.
Seriously, almost everyone can kind of throw that now.
It's three years of specified salary and then 3 years of arbitration, but like every single team could sign him. He basically gets to choose. And a lot of the experts are saying the Dodgers are going to get him.
Well, there's a shock. I mean,
I think that's the easy thing to say.
Yeah, now. I was going to just say, do you really have to be in the know to guess that the Dodgers are going to take a run at a player?
No.
Right? I mean,
makes you mad regardless.
It's an automatic that you're going to associate the Dodgers shitting the Mets and the Yankees and the Dodgers with Soto. I mean, you know, to me, it's the one noteworthy thing on Soto is that the Blue Jays are in. That, to me, is somewhat noteworthy. The Mets, Yankees, and Dodgers, I fully expect they're going to be in. Yet I don't really need that. It's not a breaking story to me.
Does the GM of the Dodgers speak Japanese like A.J. Preller does?
Friedman? I'm sure. You mean, I don't put anything
I bet
past
to these guys
cats.
Don't. Yeah, they're not going to leave any stone unturned. Yeah.
I don't know. Because I remember when
Considering
Shohei.
Considering that he has Shohei and Yamamoto on his team, I wouldn't.
He better.
Wouldn't, not that he better.
And
just
if he doesn't speak
me.
It, you know, he's got. He's always got the interpreter guy.
I would like to have a guy like Sasaki as well, not only because he's great, but because he's willing to go somewhere else instead of just join the best team out there. I'd rather have that guy, honestly.
Well, are you sure of that?
Am I sure that he's going to choose the Dodgers? No, I'm not sure.
No, I was going to say, you just said I would like to have him because he's the kind of guy that's going to want to go somewhere he wants rather
he wants
than
to
chase
establish
the money.
Himself.
But how do you know he won't chase the money?
Well, because
have you talked to him? Did you FaceTime him?
The money
him? You said
doesn't
you didn't
come
FaceTime
until
him.
Years later. Here's, I did not FaceTime him, Chris.
Here's a little excerpt. Here's a little excerpt from Dennis's article. It says, so, whenever he is posted, much depends on the Padres' ability to recruit. Leaked sources told The Athletic's Will Salmon that Sasaki's priorities will include stability, lifestyle, comfort, and a team's history of player development.
We're good at all of that.
San Diego can make a strong case that it offers each of the first three qualities.
Oh, are they saying we don't offer the player development part of it?
I think that's what it's alluding to.
But yeah, they have the pitching
but we
whisperer.
Have Ruben Niebla. Come on, man.
That's We've a selling
to,
point.
It's got to be.
Don't yell at me. I'm just reading the excerpt.
Come on, Tony. Really? We got Ruben Niebla.
Tony, you need to text A.J. Preller right now and say, we have the pitching whisperer.
With Darvish and reliever Yuki Matsui in the clubhouse and Japanese icon Hideo Nomo in the front office, the Padres are equipped to ease a potential transition.
I'm going to get a Sasaki jersey tomorrow.
Go make one.
He's going to be a Padre.
What number?
Ooh, what number is he now?
I don't know.
I could tell you. His number is 17 right now.
No one on the team is 17, I don't think.
You just
17.
You just making that up? No one's
17?
I don't
know. I'm trying to think. Is there anybody on the team 17?
It's not jumping to mind, but I don't have a roster in front of me.
I guess I'll go look at the Padres roster and make sure I'm not taking anyone's number. What number is Tyler Wade?
Tyler Wade, 14.
All right. Well, there you go. It's still open, guys.
Well, look, if his number is taken, he can always do a Blake Snell type of deal with Will Myers, if need be.
It might be kind of pricey.
I don't see anybody with the number 17.
All right, so let's assume
another selling
there.
Point. Hey, boom. You have your number here, too.
All right, that's all I got for you.
Scraby's got it done. Sasaki to the Padres. If it happens, you heard it here first. Gwynn and Chris underway for a Tuesday. When we come back, Padres got some finalists for the Major League Baseball Awards. And we all found out something today about Jackson Merrill that we previously did not know. And as you can tell by that response, I like it. It's coming up with more Gwynn and Chris around the corner.
2:39 on the clock. Roky Sasaki is the name you should know and the name you should be paying attention to for the rest of the spring training. As long as he, assuming he posts and becomes a free agent.
And as I understand it, there's a set amount of money that has to be paid him.
Yes, he can. I think the max he can get is like 12 mil.
Right, they can afford him.
Yeah, it's a free for all.
I'm all into that.
That wasn't for you, though, Chris. That was for our listeners out there. I know you know that already. Let's.
Yes, I've known that for all of 6 minutes now, so I'm good.
Oh, my gosh.
Where was I going? Oh, okay. So, Scraby, you put this in our rundown today.
Well, I put it in there, and I wasn't sure.
Can I explain it first before you explain what's happening?
I just started yelling.
JT Rogan, I believe, played at USD.
Running back at USD, very fast, played on the Jim Harbaugh USD teams.
And I believe he's from the great state of Washington.
Yeah, I believe so. He played with Josh Johnson as quarterback, and they had a ton of success the years that the two of them were together.
Now, you're probably asking yourself, Tony, why are you telling us about JT Rogan? Well, we're talking about free agency, and according to Mr. Rogan, on his Twitter account, he has spoken to Blake Snell. As a matter of fact, he spoke to him this morning. And in that tweet, he goes on to say, Blake, as I think I have relayed and many people have relayed, would love to come back here and pitch in San Diego. However, he has been told, and at least in Rogan's Twitter
post. Yeah.
He says it's from Preller. We have no information that that is true, but he says Blake has told him that he has heard from.
He's heard
that the Padres
not going to have the bank.
Won't have the money.
Yeah.
Or may not be in a position, may not be willing, somewhere in that realm, to spend the money on a Blake Snell. So.
Here's a guy that you did not mention. As a possible pitcher, Mike Soroka. Remember how good this guy was for the Atlanta Braves at the beginning of his career? Had some arm issues. Last year with the White Sox, 0-10 with a 4.74 ERA. People are saying there's going to be a bidding war for this guy because he has a history of being good. But the White Sox made him bad.
Well, let's pull up Mr. Soroka's numbers here.
Last year as a starter, he had a 6.39 ERA, but as a reliever, a 2.75 ERA. Pitched much better last year out of the bullpen.
Last
did not
year
win
his...
a game last year because the White Sox didn't win any games last year.
Last year was his first healthy season in quite some time.
Yes, right.
He pitched. He made 9 starts. He's pitched in 25 games. Now, prior to that, I think... There's only 1 year that you could lean on and say that he was good.
He was good, right, yeah.
And that was 2019.
Wasn't his rookie year?
No, it was. Well, technically, yes, it would have been his rookie year.
Right.
He pitched in 2018. He pitched 5 games. He went 2-1, had a 3-5. But 19, the all-star year for himself, 13-4, had a 2.68, 29 starts.
Yeah.
He hasn't been healthy enough. He tore his Achilles in back-to-back seasons.
Oh, my goodness.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's bad.
So he missed the 20 most of the 20 season, all of 21, all of 22.
Wow.
He got back in 23 for 6 starts and then he was with the White Sox. He's only 27 years of age, which may be why there will be a bidding war for him, if that is indeed the case.
He's only 27?
Yes, he came, got to the big leagues as a 20-year-old, was an all-star at 21, and then hadn't been able to stay healthy.
He was the youngest opening day starter in Braves history the year after he had his big season. 2020, he was the opening day starter. Anyway, that could be a cheaper version.
By the way, that's the same year. Just think about this, and this is how stacked the Braves have been. In that same year, you had Max Freeman as a part of that rotation. He was kind of coming into his own. I think that year they had the young kid Anderson, who pitched in the postseason that year for him. He has kind of fallen off since then. Yeah,
yes.
But it just goes to show you, man, there's a lot of
guys come
out
and
there.
Guys go.
Yeah, without a doubt.
He could be a guy maybe coming.
Let's see. Back to the Rogan thing, because I think... I don't know how true this can be, because when I read this morning to go, because when I put it in the chat, I was like, or the doc, I was like, I don't know if this is real or not. Should I even put this in there? And then I removed it, and then I put it back in, and then I removed it, put it back in. But I don't know that AJ Preller is just willy nilly telling people what they're going to spend. I don't know where that part comes.
Yeah, right. So you're I think you're bringing up a good point.
Which is,
like, did Blake Snell call the Padres and they said,
or his agent?
Yeah, right. We're not going to be able to afford you. Maybe Blake Snell just doesn't think the Padres would be able to afford him, which would be a different story.
Let me ask you a question. Is it that far stretched, considering all the conversations that are happening right now? So GMs are flying to see. So is it too far of a reach to think there may have already been some conversations between agent and player?
Oh, no. I mean, I'm sure they have.
Okay, so then...
But is AJ... Like, I don't see AJ ever giving any information that would give anybody look into the organization.
Why would he want to drag a free agent, one that he's already dealt with in past negotiations, why would he want to drag a fake negotiation on?
No, I get that, too. I guess what I'm saying is this tweet in itself can create a lot of problems for the Padres by not spending, and it can also create a lot of problems
for
fans.
I don't buy that. It may create a problem for Blake Snell and what he's looking for, but that doesn't mean that it creates a problem with anybody else.
I'm trying to read between the lines, which maybe I shouldn't, but maybe AJ's telling them, hey, we're not interested. We're not going to spend as much.
And by the way, the tweet doesn't say the Padres won't. It just says... He was told that they don't know if they will be able to spend that much. So there's no closed doors even in that tweet, for the record. All right, let's talk about the finalists, because the Padres do indeed have some finalists. One of them we talked about, or two of them, one of them we've been talking about pretty much since like June, July. Right. Clown music?
No, this is Academy Award music.
I'm sorry, I didn't let it breathe.
I'm sorry,
Hollywood.
We'll start with Jackson Merrill. Clearly, that's the one that most of us are feeling some type of way about.
Anxiety, yes,
because we feel like it's not going to go the way that many of us think it should go.
I'm rooting for him. A lot harder than ever was before.
The three finalists, by the way, two of them you probably already know, Skeens, Merrill. The other one is Cherryo. You probably know all three of those guys the end of the season finished.
Yeah.
But those are the three names. No surprise there.
No. But what was surprising was that Jackson Merrill was at the football game last night exchanging jerseys with Jalen Waddle.
That's why I booed him last break.
That's why Scraby booed him, because apparently Jackson Merrill is a huge Dolphins fan. God love the guy. I hope he wins. We all hope he wins. We all think he should win. We're just not sure he's going to win. Paul Skeens is also a finalist for the Cy Young Award. There might be some people who look at that, even though they shouldn't, and think, well, if he's a Cy Young finalist, he's got to at least be the Rookie of the Year. I just don't
that
know how
that bothers
me. That does bother. Thank you, Chris, for ducking that in. You know, Merrill played every day and just had a great season. Skeens came late and was brilliant most of the season when he was pitching. But Man, Jackson Merrill was so good. That run he had in August. I wonder if that everybody forgot it. Feels like by the time the voting came around, it wasn't fresh in the minds of people the way it was at the time it was happening. You were like, he's got to win the award. He won like five games in a row for the Padres. But
it very rarely does it happen this way where you have three really
competitive. Churio had a hell of a year, too.
And that's just the thing is they all like peaked up at different points. Skeens was the first to really kind of, I shouldn't say that. Jackson was really the first. He's was just kind of steady. It was steady until we got to that August month. Prior to that, Skeens had been on a heater. And all we could talk about was this young guy and how well he was doing. You know,
he started the All-Star game.
He
started the All-Star game, that was pretty much
that was
locked
the hype.
It up for him.
That was the hype, right? And then that very next month is when Jackson just, I mean, in what, six straight games, it was
incredible.
He was eighth, ninth inning, seventh, eighth, ninth inning. He was doing something heroic. And then Churio had
he finished
crazy
really strong. Yeah.
September. And so very rarely in a rookie of the year race is it close enough to where these type of swings are changing the narrative like in real time.
But also possible that there are those out there that are pitcher voters, and they're all going to obviously go for Skeens. And then there's guys out there that are everyday player voters, and they may split the vote between Jackson Merrill and Jackson Churio, which may leave the championship at the end for Skeens.
I think there's definitely that. I also think there's definitely the folks that watch from April to July and made up their minds based on the dominance
sent
of Skeens.
Sent their ballot in during the All-Star game.
Right, and not looking at the entire body of work. Because if you're looking at the entire body of work, I honestly don't know how you can come up with a different answer other than Jackson Merrill if you're looking at the entirety of the body. But so often in these type of awards, it's about narrative and the last thing you can remember.
And that's why the Pirates, to their credit, I didn't like it, but to their credit, they ran Paul Skeens out there on the second to last day of the season.
They did.
To face Juan Soto and Aaron Judge in Yankee Stadium. And he struck out Aaron Judge, and it was one out. But man, it was replayed 1,000 times.
It's a good point.
It was like a lasting, you know, vote in his favor.
I get it. I mean, like when you go to MLB.com stats and you go to pitching, you can't find his stats because he doesn't qualify for ERA title, strikeout. In fact, remember how many times I brought up the MLB.com had a little thing on the top saying Paul Skeens doesn't yet qualify? Well, I'm thinking they changed the wording because Paul Skeens now his name is not on there anymore. It's just a note, which means that they're changing it so that people can't go and be like, well, why is he up for it if he didn't qualify? The Cy Young is the most egregious part is what I'm trying to say.
I love that you just came up with your own theory for why that was.
Well, during the playoffs, Shohei's career postseason numbers weren't visible. Aaron Judge's were.
They were leaning you, pushing you one way. Is that
and
what
then
saying?
Once people started complaining, oh, look, all of a sudden Shohei Ohtani's numbers are on the page now.
Is that a real thing? People were like calling in and or writing in and complaining.
Lots of tagging MLB. Where are Shohei's numbers? Because they weren't good. MLB doesn't want you to know that Shohei Ohtani had a terrible postseason.
You're such a conspiracy theory. You could see it. It was the games were on.
But the Cy Young nomination for Paul Skeens, I have nothing against Paul Skeens.
I will agree with you. I will.
You do have a lot against Paul Skeens.
No, I haven't. No. I've always said I like Paul Skeens. Don't like the media coverage.
We know what you said, but your actions would say the opposite of what your words are saying. Is what Chris is trying to say.
I don't hate Paul Skeens. I just hate that everybody is acting like Paul Skeens had this entire season under his belt.
I will agree with you on this. Typically, it does feel like the voters lean on the numbers heavily. So it really would go against the grain if Skeens does win, because as you just mentioned, the numbers aren't readily available in the statistics because
he doesn't qualify. Was I also not told that Manny Machado could not be considered for Gold Glove because he didn't play enough games?
I don't think that was technical. I think
pretty
it was.
Sure that's what you told me, both of you.
We didn't say anything about it
Manny
having to be
can't
minimum
be
games.
He can't be for the Gold Glove. He didn't have enough games.
Why is Paul Skeens running for the Rookie of the Year? He didn't have enough games either.
I think we were suggesting that that was possibly a reason why Manny didn't get the Gold Glove.
Paul Skeens pitched 133 innings last year. That's 93rd in all of pitchers in baseball. I don't know how you can look at that and be like, yep, he's good enough. He didn't have 10. He started 23 games. He didn't even...
And just to be clear, you don't hate Paul Skeens?
Correct. I hate the media for pushing this narrative.
We are basically talking like he's already won.
Well, I mean, Paul Skeens. Come on. I can see the writing on the wall.
I would love nothing more for that award to be named and us be just dead ass wrong.
Oh, me too. I will...
That would be great.
I will do a dance of joy and eat my hat.
Careful.
I don't have a hat, so
careful.
There we go. I can't eat a hat. I don't have a hat.
I got plenty of hats.
No, I said my hat.
Yeah. Eat one of mine.
We got plenty of hats for you if you really want to
okay,
eat a hat.
Okay, I don't want to eat a hat, but...
You little goat. Let's jump to break. Daily Gambit on the way. More Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.